We welcome you, Lord Jesus. We welcome you. Exalt you, Jesus. We worship you. The other day I was beginning to pray a little bit, and I began to say, Lord, I welcome you into my day, to this day. And he reminded me again that he made the day and that he's really welcoming us into his day. It's not as if I made the day and welcoming him into it, but he made the day so he could welcome me into it. And we thank you, Father, for another day. Just knowing you. We love you, Jesus. And Paul said, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye may be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And then in 4:15 or 4:5, it says, let your moderation be made known unto men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, and whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, and whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. And jumping down to verse 13, it says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen. And then in verse 20, now unto God our Father be glory. Father, forever, forever and ever, Lord, we give you glory. And that's why we come, to give you glory, give you praise. We worship you, Jesus. We exalt you tonight. We are here for you again, Lord. We just keep coming. We have no quitting sense, Lord. We just keep coming. We just keep coming, Lord. There is no other way but through you. There is no other way but by your Spirit. There is no other way, Jesus. So we just look to you for all things. For all things, Lord Jesus. You have been through this day already. You have been through tomorrow already. And we thank you, Lord, that you're welcoming us to come with you, to follow after you. We are your lights in this world, Jesus. We are your light, Lord. And I pray your light is shining, Jesus, that we are letting your light shine brightly. Because all we want to do is know you and please you. Nothing else matters to us, God, but you. And all that's yours, Lord, that matters to us, Jesus. We love you like no other. And we want your love to flow. We want your unconditional love, Jesus. Have your way. Have your way, Jesus. Glory to you, Jesus. Can you imagine what Moses must have felt like after being up on that mount and getting the Ten Commandments? So excited and so just filled with fire of God. He was just glowing in all that glory. And he steps down and sees those people just acting crazy, not serving God anymore, serving a cow, a graven image. Can you imagine how that must have just burst his bubble? It burst his bubble so bad that he threw the Ten Commandments that God made for him. And I was thinking just a few minutes ago when we began to worship and Marty started that song, I thought, God, I don't want to sing that song. I don't want to sing that song. But I began to think about Moses. And I thought, I don't want to be like Moses and throw the Ten Commandments away. I don't want to throw down the presence of God. I want to just roll with the presence of God. And I don't want God to have to do it something another way. I don't want him to have to do it again. So we just worship because he wants us to worship. It doesn't matter what hell might be coming against you or your mind. We just worship him anyway because he's worthy. He doesn't change because we change, because we get stubborn or we get upset or we get hurt. It doesn't change him. He's still worthy to be worshiped. He could come today. He could come tonight. And he'd be so excited. Would we? Would we be excited? God deserves so much more than what I give him. God, help us. Teach us. Teach us to worship you in spirit and in truth, not out of emotion, not out of a got to, but out of a want to love you to the fullest and to express ourselves to you because you so much deserve the glory. God, we do worship you. And we do love you. I'm so thankful for that song, Jesus. Thank you for teaching us. We thank you, Lord, that you are the light of the world. You are the truth and the way. And we worship you because we love you. We only want to please you. Moses only wanted to please you, Lord. He was a man without a new nature. God, we can serve you. There's no reason not to worship you, exalt you and praise you because you're worthy. It doesn't matter our present circumstance. It doesn't matter what's going on in these minds and bodies of ours. You're worthy. You're the God of the universe. We were made for you,
yes,
not ourselves. So we worship you.
I love you, Lord.
We love you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
We love you, Jesus.
We worship you, Jesus.
We worship you.
Praise and glorify you.
Hallelujah.
Candy's been going through, just reading through the Old Testament. She came home Monday. She was reading the part of Pharaoh, the children coming out from underneath his yoke. The pursuit of Pharaoh to get him back, do everything he could, and it's all a type and shadow. All those things were done, the word says, unto them that they might speak unto us. They were shadows. There came a point that someone or something that had somebody enslaved for 400 years, wasn't just that Pharaoh, was everyone that lived before him. There was a point in time where Pharaoh had no more power, no more power to exercise over the children of Israel. This sounds simple. It really is simple. But I wanted us to sing that song again. And it wasn't, I know what Candy was saying, it wasn't that she doesn't love the song. It's sometimes you, against the fight, your emotions are like, I just kind of rather find a little corner to crawl into and just be real quiet. You know what I saw, just or what I felt? Maybe it was what I saw too. As we come and stood, there's something about it that says, you know what? Wherever, whatever kind of pharaohs, that's lying spirits. That's doctrines of devils. That's any kind of thing that's trying to exercise control over your body, soul, spirit. It does not matter. I can tell you this. Jesus Christ is broken. He's destroyed all of any king that tries to rise up and say, I have dominion over you, spirit, soul, or body. As you come and stand and lift your hands, we're going to exercise a spiritual right. Psalms 149, 150 says, this honor has all his saints to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron. So it doesn't matter if it's a big one, little one, or in between one. But you begin to worship him and thank him. I can tell you, she read one part. She said, the Lord, you know, when the chariots went into the Red Sea, said the Lord took their wheels off of them. Some of you need to have the enemy's wheels taken off. He's been running ramshot over you for a long time. So why don't you just come? Why don't you just make that effort? And in the effort, what you're saying with your body is, no, you're not going to rule over me. You're just not going to rule over me anymore in any area. Hallelujah. Everybody's welcome to come. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Well, Kenny and I will be leaving Friday for Dayton for a week. So we expect revival to be in full-blown operation when we get back. So come and support Homer. He will be ministering Sunday. And he's also got a meeting. Is that still happening in Ocala on Tuesday? Tuesday night, he'll be preaching for Loretta Cole. And by the way, we got a request this afternoon. Loretta called and actually texted and said that her husband, Terry, had fallen and was really in some serious pain. So we prayed. But if the Holy Spirit speaks to you, please lift him up. His name's Terry Cole, wonderful man. And lift up Homer as he goes and ministers. Candy and I will be ministering in Dayton. I'll be doing some of the speaking. How much, I don't know, but probably most every day doing something. So we just covet your prayers, and we appreciate it so much. Turn with me to John, the Gospel of John 14. As you stretch your faith this way, and I appreciate it. Father, we love you. We give you all the praise and glory. We thank you, Father, because we live and move and have our being in this one Christ our Lord. We thank you because this opportunity we get tonight to speak your word. Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, that the Holy Spirit guides us into all truth. And your word is truth, Father. And we give you all the praise and glory. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Well, we're going to talk about what peace requires just for a little bit. How many of you want peace? How many of you want more peace? Peace is a very powerful commodity. It's what your Father uses to do his work of bringing forth more and more in your life. And usually, from what I've found out and what I've been instructed by my elders, is that on the onset of God taking you to another level, that's the place where your enemy is going to come and try you more than anything else, is in the realm of peace. Because if he can break down your peace, then he can stall the next level. The next level for you, I'm not sure what that is. I know what the next level for me is: miracles, walking in more power, walking in everything that he said that I was supposed to be, and everything that I know that I'm supposed to be doing. And that's leading. I might not be the only one, but leading a tremendous outpouring in this area. Well, you might be called to help serve governments. Some more peace to you. More peace to you might mean that he's able to open up another realm of governing. Or it might be opening up another realm of financial blessing. Because on the level of peace, the more that he can get peace over to you, he can also get the miracle over to you. Because it's by peace for you standing in a place, because peace is really, it's the fruit of love. It's the fruit of you abiding in love and not wavering. If God can stand down in you and get all the measure of his love over to you, then you'll eventually walk in more peace, and then everything that he's been wanting to get over to you just comes like automatically. So what are the requirements of peace? Well, the first thing is real easy. John 14, verses 23 through 27. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him. And we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance. He says, all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you. This is what he said. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it what? Be afraid. Peace I leave with you. Well, he was going to leave them peace, but he wasn't going to leave them peace right then, because he couldn't. It wasn't the peace that he could just invoke by laying on of hands. It was the peace that came through the new nature. And he says, my peace I give unto you, not as the world gives peace. So the very first place that we find that peace shows up is this, or the requirement on peace is this. When you're born again, you just receive it. You just receive it. Because Jesus said, my peace I give unto you. Now, he said this, it's not as the world gives peace. In other words, for the world, in the natural, everything has to line up. Everything has to make sense. Everything has to come into what seems normal for you to have peace. But Jesus said, that's not the peace I'm giving you. He says, the peace that I give you. And he says this, what did he say? Let not your hearts be troubled, neither be afraid. He says, so the first part of peace is the new nature. It's just to receive it. It's just to receive it. Now let's go to Mark chapter 4. Look at verse 1. Now, we're just going to look at and going to read through part of Mark 4, because Mark 4 is when Jesus began to teach by the seaside. And there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea, and the whole multitude was by the sea on land. And he taught them many things by parables, and said unto them in his doctrine. And he goes on to teach this whole message on the sower. Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass as he sowed that some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell on stony ground where it had not much earth. And immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched. And because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And other fell on good ground, and it did yield fruit that sprang up and increased and brought forth some 30, some 60, and 100-fold. And when he'd said these things unto them, he said unto them, He that has ears to hear, let him hear. When he was alone, the disciples asked him about the parable. And he said, Unto you it is given, in verse 11, to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted, and their sins should be forgiven them. And he said unto him, Know ye not this parable? How then will you know all parables? And the sower soweth the word. And these are they which are sown on by the wayside, where the word is sown. But when they have heard it, what he is saying, Satan cometh immediately. Everybody say immediately. How soon is immediately? How soon? In other words, as soon as the word is sown, how quick does he come? He comes right away to take it. And he taketh away the word that is sown in their hearts. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground. When they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time afterwards. When the afflictions and persecutions arise for the word's sake, immediately are offended. And these that are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entering in choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30, some 60, and 100-fold. And he said unto them, Is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed, and not to be set on a candlestick? For there's nothing hid which shall not be manifest, neither was there anything kept secret. And he's talking about the word. When the word gets in you, it'll begin to illuminate everything that the Holy Spirit teaches you. If any man has ears to hear, let him hear. Then he says, Take heed what you hear. With what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you. And unto you that hear shall more be given. And he that hath, to him shall be given even that which he, and to him that has, I'm sorry, for he that hath, to him shall be given, and he that hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he hath. And he said, So is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground, and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, and he knoweth not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of itself, first the blade, then the ear, and after that the full corn in the ear. And when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth forth a sickle, because the harvest to come. And he said, Whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what shall we compare it? It's like a grain of mustard seed. Now he's still talking about the word, which when it's sown into the earth, it is less than all the seeds that are in the earth. And when it is sown, it groweth up, and it becometh greater than all herbs, and it shooteth out great branches, so that the fowl of the air may lodge under the shadow of it. Now he just taught all on the word, that the word sown, immediately Satan comes to get it. But if it endures, it will produce 30, 60, and 100. And then he tells you how the word works. It's like the smallest of smallest. Once you're born again, you receive that word, it begins to work in your life so that it will increase into something that will lodge, it'll house, even though it's a small thing to begin with. You don't even know how it works, is what he says. You can't even understand with your natural mind how the word works. But if you allow it to stay against temptation, it will produce. And what it's going to produce is it's going to produce peace. And it's going to produce love. Because the example is right here in front of us of what Jesus is talking about. And with many, verse 33, with many such parables spake he the word unto them as they were able to hear. And without a parable spake he not unto them. And when they were alone, he expounded all things to his disciples. And the same day when the 11 was come, he said unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they were sent away, the multitude, they took him, even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they wake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are you so fearful? And how is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? Hallelujah. Now Jesus said this. He said, okay, when the word is sown, Satan comes immediately to try to take it. But if he can't take it, then it's like a grain of mustard seed, that eventually it will grow and it will produce. A grain of mustard seed is said is the smallest of all herbs. But if that word does not, if tests and trials and afflictions don't take it from you and it stays in there long enough, eventually it will grow into this great herb, this great tree in which it'll even house the fowl of the air. And he taught that to his disciples. And then he said to them, let's go to the other side. I've got a mission on the other side. Well, he gets in the boat and he begins to go forth. And what happens? What did we just read? What happens out on the sea? A storm. And the word says, and there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part. Now, did Satan come? Jesus had just preached this sower. So he just preached this. And then they get in the boat and they start across the sea. And he just preached on Satan coming immediately to take the word from them. What happens? Exactly what he just, the personification of what he just said. Immediately Satan comes to steal the word from the disciples. He wasn't going to steal it from Jesus, but Jesus had just preached all these parables and he said, you must know these parables. And immediately this storm comes. This is not just preaching material, it's literal. A storm came, but that storm in the natural was to take their eyes off the words that Jesus had just spoke. Did it take their eyes off the words? Yes, it did. It accomplished exactly what Satan wanted it to accomplish. They became exceedingly fearful. And what was Jesus doing? Now, this is amazing. Here, the word says that he got into the ship. He had preached all day. And I've preached for hours at times, and your body feels relaxed, but it feels tired at the same time. It's a good feeling. It can feel wore out, but it can feel very relaxed. Jesus got into the boat, and I don't think that he was on the bow of the boat. Well, the word says he was in the hinder part, asleep. He was asleep. Now, he's asleep. I'm gonna go to sleep on you guys. That's how relaxed I'm gonna get. I've preached to you guys, and I'm just going to lay down. And I just told you before I lay down, take me to the other side. The Father's going to take us over there. Now, when they got in the boat, nobody was saying, hey, Rough weather. They didn't know that immediately a demonic spirit, a principality, was going to come over that whole lake and try to sink the boat. The disciples didn't know that. They didn't know that they were going to get an immediate lesson from the devil on the words of Jesus. Jesus said, as soon as the word is sown, he's going to come. He's going to try to take it from you. So Jesus lays down. Now, if I'm laying down in a boat, if this is you and you're laying down in a boat, if I go out with Julio and if he's running the boat real fast, I'm not going to go to sleep. But if I'm rocking along and we're just sitting out there singing a song and I'm laying there, sun on my face, and I'm real tired, I could doze off. I could easily doze off. Get some Z's. But if that boat, humanly possible, can waves be coming over the sides of the boat and it beating on the boat and it beginning to, the boat rocking as if it's going to break apart, and the word says the water was in the boat. So the sound of the waves and the sound of the splashing and just the disciples trying to bail out and the waves, that water had to be hitting Jesus. I mean, you don't sleep through a night, you let anybody throw water in your, you know, on your face, you're going to wake up. He was so sound asleep from the peace of God that supernaturally he was resting in the storm. He supernaturally was just taking, he was back there and the boat was being beat apart and the wind was blowing. The sky must have been just ominous, this great huge cloud and just beating everything apart. And his disciples were so fearful, they finally woke him up and they said, you know what, we just can't believe he's sleeping through this. I mean, he's just sleeping through this. What is going on with him? So he gets up. You know, the amazing part is he rebukes the wind, he rebukes the sea, and it all calms down. And then the word says that he was amazed. He says, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? In other words, I just preached the word to you, but do you know that the sanity of peace can't, when it runs into fear and faithlessness, it can't hardly imagine it. That's why it's so important for us to stay in peace. Because when we stay in peace, we're thinking correctly. We're thinking correctly. Jesus was like, to all these guys, they were like, this makes perfect sense. We're about to die. It makes perfect sense for us to wake you up. And for him to get woke up in the peaceful state he was at, no matter what was going on, it still had not changed his command. We're going over there. Now, had they kept the faith, they could have just said, okay, we don't care what the storm is. We're going for it. We've been doing that in Immokalee for a long time. But we're going to do it better. Why? Because we're going to find more peace. They woke him up, because he was in the hinder part of the ship asleep. Peace from God does not originate from the world. Otherwise, the disciples would have had it. His peace does not understand fear. It doesn't understand fear. It just is amazed. It's appalled at fear. How is it, he said, that you have no faith? Now let's look at the new nature, the peace that comes from the new nature. And guess what? My lovely wife, boy, did she hit it tonight. She really got it. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians 4. Let's look at verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say what? How many of you might think that rejoicing has something to do with your peace? He says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Now he says this. Now this is going to give you a clue to how to get more peace. Be careful for what? Nothing. But in everything, by what? Prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto what? To God. And the peace of God which passes what? All understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The first thing that Philippians 4 says this, it's a choice. Be careful for nothing. How many of you know, first of all, peace is a choice? It has to be a choice. It has to be something that you choose. It has to be something that you choose. And he says, be careful for nothing. If he told us to be careful for nothing, we can be careful for nothing. But it's a choice. The first thing we understand about peace is it's a choice. Then he says, the next way that you require, what peace requires is this. Everything, in everything, by what? Number one, prayer. Supplication. The word prayer there can mean worship. I looked that up. Supplications can mean petitions. All your worship, all your petitions. And then you couple it with what? Everything you give Him with what? Thanksgiving, Father. Thank you for all these things that I lift up before you. Thank you, Father. Then he says, the peace of God which does what? Passes what? It doesn't work. This is what we have to get. Some of us are still in training, myself included. This peace does not come from the mind. In fact, its greatest quality is it's supposed to transcend the mind and consume the mind. It doesn't, this peace is not predicated on facts. It's not predicated on surroundings. It's not predicated on emotions. It's not predicated on anything other than, in other words, he says, you can have peace, and this is the toughest part for the mind, you can have peace when it passes understanding. In other words, you don't know why you have peace. You just know you have it. It doesn't, you don't even have to make it make sense for you to have it. The peace of God passing understanding means this. It consumes understanding. It actually goes beyond understanding. The peace of God is higher. It's a higher quality because it comes out of the new nature. It's a higher quality than mental peace. And it'll eventually cause mental peace to come into full effect. He says this. It passes all understanding and it keeps your what? Your hearts and what? Your heart and, it keeps your hearts and minds. See, it doesn't just keep your, it'd be one thing if it kept your spirit. But if you just kept having a tremendous roller coaster in the mind, that wouldn't be so good. But it says here, this peace will keep your hearts, which is your spirit, and your mind, which is a wonderful thing. Isn't that great? But he says this. He gives us eight things here in verse 8. Finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are what? He says the peace of God will keep your hearts and mind through Christ Jesus. But is there a requirement? Is there a requirement? In other words, first of all, we know this. With prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, we let our requests go ahead and tell Him about the problem, but don't stay there. Go past the problem to giving Him thanks. Then go into a place, but you cannot. What brings this? Once you've committed unto Him, I like what Dave used to say. He says, a lot of people say, I'm casting my care on the Lord. They get in their, they do it at the altar. They get home. They were driving a whatever. They were driving a Volkswagen. Their cares were carrying or driving a Ferrari. Their cares were in the front room saying, "Hi, did you have a nice church service? Because I'm still here." But is there a way to keep them? Yes. You not only have to, here's the requirement. Here's your part. He says, whatsoever things, finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are what? True. Count them with me. True. Honest. Just. Pure. Lovely. Good report. Virtuous. And what? How many is that? Eight different ones. And then he says, those things which you have both learned, received, and heard, and seen in me do, and the God of peace will be with you. In other words, you cannot just say, God, I'm committing this thing to you. Then you've got to do something. You've got to make a conscious effort to begin to put your mind. How often do I have to do that? As often as it takes. If that means 1,000 times a day, then that's 1,000 times a day. It may be days where it's easy. But thinking on things, what he's saying here, here's where you get to use your mind. This is where you get to use your mind. And for you to use your mind to think on these things, you know what he's talking about? He's talking about imagination. He's talking about you setting your imagination. Well, what do you think about? What would be some things? What do you think about? What would be some things that are true? How many of you know that His Word is true? Honest, just, pure, lovely, good report, virtuous, praiseworthy. Think on these things. And then he said, those things which you've both learned and received and heard and seen in me do. This was Paul, but we could say that about Jesus. Everything in the Scriptures. Well, what would be a good imagination? Let's say, for instance, you're in a troubled time. How do you begin to think? How do you begin to think if truth and pure things and honest things should fill your mind against the effects of those things that are, you haven't got to the point where it's past your understanding yet. It's really part of your understanding. It's there. It's affecting you. But the Word says, okay, you can get past it, but then you've got a part to play too. You not only have to stand against it, you have to make this application where you apply your mind. You're applying your mind to that which is good and beautiful. All these things, it doesn't say good and beautiful, but I'm saying that. Now, we just use an example, the example of Christ. He's asleep at the hinder part of the boat. Does that look like a perfect example of peace? Does that look like a perfect example of somebody that goes through something in the midst of a storm? Wouldn't it be like if you were going through a storm, wouldn't it be one of those imaginations that you would employ, in your mind? If you're going through something, couldn't you see that one of the things that would help you, that you've set your mind on like all day long, through the night? Wouldn't it be beautiful to see Jesus just in that ship? And He's laying there and all that storm, I mean all those lies are out there and all that stuff's coming in the boat, and it's all that junk from the world and all that junk from Satan. It's just this ominous cloud is just there. And He's just asleep. What if you said to yourself, that's me and Jesus laying back there. That's me and Jesus laying back there. I'm laying down with Jesus. That's until this storm is over, until my boat gets to the other side and I get the next assignment, that's me and Jesus. We're laying there side by side. In fact, I'm in Him. The Word says that I'm in Christ. I'm in Christ. So He's laying there, I'm laying there. You're seeing yourself consumed by peace, knowing this, that God is taking your ship to the other side. Imagery, that's what imagery is. You setting your mind deliberately on good things. Hallelujah. How many of you believe you'll take a good stab at it? Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Blessed be the Lord. How many enjoyed it? Service. How many enjoyed it enough to be able to just say, okay, God, I'll give whatever you say to give. Amen. So would you please be good to Homer while I'm gone. Come and support him. Okay? And there won't be any Friday night this week or next week. Okay. All right. So everybody's off. Miss Gay says everybody's off this week and next week. While the boss is away, the people do always play. Candy said when Moses was gone. Hallelujah. All right. Father, we bless this. May your grace be upon it. And may you bring a great blessing, Lord, upon your people always. And we give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Why don't you stand? If you don't have anything, just give somebody a hug. But if you have something, bring it down. Amen.